Jedi, I'm on that battlefield. I am a hard fighting soldier, and I'm on that battlefield. I keep on. I've got a helmet on my head, and in my hand a sword and shield. I've got a helmet on my head, and in my
hand.
One day everybody's going to be singing. I'm gonna walk right and talk right and sing right and pray right up on that battlefield. I'm gonna
walk right and talk right and sing right and pray right up
on that battlefield. I'm gonna
walk right and talk right and sing right and pray right up
on that battlefield. I keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give. I am a hard fighting.
How many hard fighting soldiers we got in?
On that battlefield, I am a hard fighting soldier, and I'm on that battlefield. I am a hard fighting soldier, and I'm on that battlefield. I keep on
bringing souls to Jesus.
Let's do that one more time. Let's do that one more time. That I give. I am a hard fighting soldier, and I'm on that battlefield. I am a hard fighting soldier, and I'm on that battlefield. I am a hard fighting soldier.
Don't you just feel that? Don't you just feel that?
Battlefield, I keep on bringing souls to Jesus.
By the service that I
hear. Let the church say,
amen.
Amen. Don't you just feel that? Don't you just, man, I am a hard fight. Don't you just feel like it's going to be okay. Yo, it's going to be okay. Yeah, on the battlefield. On the battlefield. How many of y'all know we're on the battlefield? We are on the battlefield. Put on the whole armor of God because we're on the battlefield. And don't you all know that life is but a vapor? We're here for just a little while and then we vanisheth away. See, you all, sometimes, you know, God only deals with time and space because of us. God does not deal with time and space, right? God is from everlasting to everlasting. That's who God is. But for us, you all, we deal with time, space, and age and those things, you know. Don't you know it's a blessing to grow old? No, really. Really, it is a blessing to grow old. I know with some of the complications of growing old, some of us say we don't want to grow old. It is a blessing to grow. Because you know what I've learned? That the older you get, you look back and say, where did the time go? Am I right? Life, no wonder. The Bible says life is but a vapor, right? Church, enjoy your life because it's but a vapor. You know, I tell this to young people because, see, I didn't figure this out until I got older. You know, as young people, we, you know, they when you're young, you think you just got old day long. But I promise you, you grow up and you say, wow, I can't believe I'm the age that I am. Wow. Isn't that something? I think about that stuff, Brother Dick, as I've gotten older. I used not to think about that. But as I'm about to turn 58 years old, and I'm like, wow, I remember when I was just 18 years old. But you know what, church? I am so thankful. God has blessed me to be where I am now in my age. Because it was truly by the grace of God. Truly. And so I have a much more deeper appreciation for life. I just don't squander life away anymore. Every day, church, I wake up on this side of life, no matter how good or bad things are, it's a good day. Amen? It's a good day. I'll just tell you real quick, and I've been turning to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. I tell you this, and I thought I was really doing good because this May, my wife and I will be celebrating 37 years of marriage. And praise Jesus. Oh, I can't get an amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I thought that was really something. You know, it is something. And praise the Lord. And I'm like, where did those years go? It just seemed like we just got married not long ago. It just, you know, so you don't remember that in-between stuff that was bad. You remember most of the good. But I was in Walmart yesterday. Get a time for Walmart story? Got to tell you this. I was in Walmart yesterday and getting some paint for my wife and I was. They have a new machine at the Manny. Talk to Manny and they have a new machine. They trying to figure it out and I'm sitting there and some other folk were coming and Brother Don Martin showed up. Don, I told you I was going to preach on this, bruh. I told you. So Don was at the counter too, and the guy was trying to figure it out, and he was kind of taking time with my stuff, and then another lady showed up, and a new system and all that, and so we all just talking there. We had a good time around the counter, didn't we, Don? There's some folk we didn't even know, and we were just fellowshipping with them and having a good time, and I was talking about, yeah, this is what my wife wants, and somebody else said something. One of the other guys said something, yeah, you know, my wife comes and did this, and I said, yeah, you know, I'm 36 years into this, you know, so yeah, I want to make sure I get this right, you know. And Brother Don Martin said, I'm 50. I'm 50 years in it. But you notice something, Don, I didn't say to you that I noticed yesterday? And we were taking a little long at the counter. Well, I was, at least Don thought I was taking long. It was really, I was giving way to another person, but anyway. I noticed Don called Shirley to inform her what was taking him so long. Yeah, Don, I saw it, bro. I saw it. And I said, that's a smart man. And there was another guy next to Don, and he was like, yeah, I've been 50 years in my marriage, and you just learned to say yes. Yes, baby, yes. I said, man, I hadn't quite got to that point yet. I'm still bucking the system. Yeah, so I'm learning, y'all. Pray for me. I'm like, Don, you got 14 years on me, man. Isn't that 14, 36? I mean, makes a difference. So I'm learning, you all. So all I'm saying is we grow in wisdom. When you learn how awesome God is, you learn to thank him in everything. Even in pain and sorrow. And brethren, along life's way, along this journey that we are on, church, God does not promise that it will all be good. But he did say in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 that he works all things together for the good for those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. But brethren, but based on the construct of that sentence, I take it to mean that if he has to work all things together for the good, that assumes, church, that everything is not good before he gets a hold of it. That means there must be some stuff that's good and some stuff that's not good. And what God does is he takes what's living and dying and he makes it all work together for the good to bring forth his purpose in our lives. Brother, you can say amen to that if you've lived a little while. Am I right? If you can say amen to that, brethren, if you lost anything. And if church, if you ever been hurting, but you had to smile. If you ever had something, brethren, to celebrate about, and if you wait, church, until it's all good in your life, for you to give God praise and for you to celebrate victories, and brethren, for you to have peace in your heart, and for you to enjoy what God has given to you, you never will, because, brethren, it's never going to be all good. Am I right? Brethren, always in our lives, there's something that's being born, and there's something that's dying. And I have to accept that as a minister, brethren, of the church, because there's going to be people coming in, and there's going to be people leaving, and may God bless them. Because God knows the ecosystem, church, of his intention for my life, brethren, and he knows how to make certain things leave and certain things come, but God will never leave us alone. That's the one thing I can count on. That's the one thing you can count on, church. Whether something is dying or whether something is being born, God is superintending in our lives. And he sees every loss. And he sees every gain. And brethren, and God catches every tear, church, and he knows what to give me, and he knows how to fulfill the order that he has placed in my life. Aren't you glad about that? That he knows how to fill every order in your life. He knows every tear. And not only does he know every tear, brethren, he catches every tear in a bottle. So let's look at a passage that's going to help us with that. In Genesis chapter 35, and we're going to read the verses 16 through 18. Then they journeyed from Bethel. And when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel labored in childbirth. And she had hard labor. Now it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you will have this son also." Sometimes, brethren, we need people in our life to remind us that God is fulfilling his purpose. Sometimes we need somebody to say, "I know you can't see it right now, because it's so painful for you. And I know this is costing you so much, but God has given you what you prayed for." The Bible says, so the midwife reminds Rachel of that promise. "Don't fear, you will have this son also." Then he says in verse 18, "And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni. But his father called him Benjamin. That's what I want to talk about this morning. And I want to talk about Ben-Oni. Rachel, with her last breath, brethren, says, name the boy Ben-Oni. Ben means son, brethren, but Oni is a little bit more complicated. Oni can mean two different things. It's a name that could be used either way. It's ambiguous, church. It can mean, and mostly probably does mean, based on the context of this passage, it's a word that means sorrow. As Rachel is breathing her last breath, she names her child, son of my sorrow. And we understand why, church, for she, brethren, realizes God has answered her prayer and added another son to her life. But she will not be there to ever nurse him. She will not be there, brethren, to ever hold him. She will not be there to ever soothe him, to ever care for him, to ever console him, to ever cheer him on at a game, church, to ever celebrate him. And the moment God gave me what I ever wanted, I'm not ever going to be here to experience it. Rachel names her son, church, out of her pain. And she calls him son of sorrow. Now, brother, with that last breath in her body, she names him according to what she's going through as she's producing him. Oni, sorrow. Ben, son. Ben-Oni. What a name. Ben-Oni. Oni, brethren, however, can also mean it's open to interpretation. It can mean sorrow, and probably does in this context, but it can also mean strength. Isn't that interesting? Brethren, it's fascinating that the same word can mean both sorrow and strength. So she calls him Ben-Oni, son of my sorrow, or son of my strength. Brethren, as I reflected on this passage, I thought to myself, now, this doesn't make much sense that the same word can mean something so diametrically opposed, so mutually exclusive, church. How can it mean both sorrow and strength? But then I started thinking, what if those two things aren't as diametrically opposed, brethren, as they appear on the surface? What if great strength is always born out of great sorrow? Perhaps, brethren, real strength is only born out of real sorrow. Perhaps, brethren, the strongest people that you will ever meet have also experienced the greatest sorrow. Perhaps, brethren, the greatest trials that you have ever gone through in your life are the very things that God used to fortify the greatest strength in your life. Strength and sorrow. Sorrow and strength. If I need to put an example before you, church, then I would suggest to you that Jesus, who had all power and all authority, and he still does, brethren, there's nobody stronger. There's nobody, brethren, greater than Jesus. Nobody who got up from the grave and folded his own linen before he left church. Nobody but Jesus has that kind of strength. Nobody, brethren, but Jesus, who could hang there on the cross and could have called forth legions of angels to protect him and to get him down, but instead he uttered with his last breath, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Nobody but Jesus, brethren, has that kind of strength. Jesus, who is coming to judge the living and the dead. Jesus, who is coming again, church, on a white horse in a white robe dipped in blood. Nobody has power like Jesus. Nobody is strong like Jesus. Absolutely nobody, brethren. But when Isaiah describes him, he says that he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. It was the sorrow of his crucifixion, brethren, that produced the power and the strength of his resurrection. Strength, church, always comes from sorrow. If you see somebody, brethren, who is really strong, I guarantee you, church, they've been through a lot of stuff. They've been through a lot of sadness. I guarantee you, if you ever see somebody who's really strong in this life, I don't care, brethren, what they do. I don't care what their profession is, brethren. I don't care how easy they make it look. I don't care, church, how seamless they treated the transition. If you ever see somebody with great strength, you can bet on it that somewhere and somehow from somebody or something caused them great sorrow. Sorrow produces strength. I hope that helps you, because some of you are facing some sorrow. I want to just let you know, brethren, however, that if you want to rename your sorrow, you can rename your sorrow. And your sorrow today can become your strength for tomorrow. The tears that you're crying today, brethren, may water the seed that's going to come forth in your life and bring forth something great on tomorrow. I have a sad situation, but I have a great God. I have a lot of sorrow, brethren, but it's producing even more strength. As Rachel breathed her last breath, she names her son Ben-Oni, but Jacob named him Benjamin. Brethren, that's kind of rude, isn't it? Her dying request is, "Call my son Ben-Oni." And Jacob says, "No, I'm not doing that." I mean, you got to know, brethren, that Jacob is hurting too. You know, he was more sorrowful than she was, because now he has to live without her. Amen. And she's the only thing that he ever loved. The Bible never even said that Jacob loved God, but it says he loved Rachel so much that he worked 14 years to get her, brethren. And I don't know, brethren, if any of us love someone that much. Obviously, I love Shell that much. Amen. 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 I don't know about y'all, but brethren, and although she's sorrowful, and we know, brethren, that he's sorrowful, because at the end of his life, in Genesis chapter 48 and verse 7, the Bible says it was great sorrow that Rachel died by his side, and he had to bury her on the way to Bethlehem. It wasn't that, brethren, he didn't feel the sorrow. It's just that he refused to name that child that was born out of sorrow, according to the sorrow, brethren, that gave the child birth, brethren. He refused to name this child's destiny according to a moment in this child's history, brethren, he would not do it. So they come to him and they say, Jacob, we did all we could to save her. We did, Jacob, but she's gone. She lost too much blood, Jacob. We couldn't recover. She's gone. And the mad wife, brethren, comes up at some point and she says, excuse me, I know I'm not supposed to speak unless spoken to, but there was one thing Miss Rachel said before she died. She wanted to make sure you name this boy Benoni. And Jacob said, we ain't gonna do that. It doesn't say how much time passed, brethren, between when she died and when Jacob renamed him. Perhaps it took him days, or perhaps it took him a few moments, but at some point, church, his father named him Benjamin. In antiquity, fathers, not mothers, have naming rights ultimately. And I, brethren, I know that does not seem fair that the women do all the work and the fathers pick the name, but that's the way it worked back then, right? So Rachel is recommending a name, but Jacob had to ultimately sign off on it. And brethren, I only point that out because I wanted you to know that people in your life often recommend a certain name for you, but only your Heavenly Father gets to sign off on it. Amen. Only your Heavenly Father gets to approve it, brethren, because fathers have naming rights. Is there anybody in here this morning that has been labeled by somebody and something based on something you went through, and they said you're hopeless? Amen. And they said you're worthless, won't amount to nothing. They may not have said it in those words, brethren, but they implied in their tone and the way they think about you. But unless you make something, you don't get to name it, brethren. Only the maker has naming rights, church. I'm just praying that somebody this morning will peel off a label that somebody has given you because of a moment in your life and say, I don't think so. Amen. Only the Father has naming rights. Only my daddy gets to tell me who I really am. And if you say about me doesn't line up with what he sees about me, I don't want your label. Am I right about it? I don't need your label, brethren. I don't respond to your label. I don't respond to your name, because only fathers have naming rights. So Jacob said, I appreciate that. I understand she named him son of my sorrow. I'm sad too. I'm hurting too. And I miss her forever. I honor her forever. But I refuse to call that boy Benoni. Amen. I'm not going to name him based on what happened in that moment. I'm not going to look at this child the rest of my life and see him only through the lens of what I lost when he was born. So call that boy Benjamin. Anybody see that? It would go, brethren, to a whole other level if I told you what Benjamin means. Anybody want to know what Benjamin means, brethren? Amen. And I'm going to tell you in just a minute. See, Jacob, church, has a lot of experience with new names. It's a major theme of Jacob's life. Not only has Jacob been renamed because he used to be Jacob and now he's Israel. And he's still kind of both brethren, but he's ultimately triumphed with God. He's Israel, not the deceiver anymore, Jacob, brethren. But church, he's also, through his life and through his journey, renamed several places along the way. Bethel wasn't called Bethel before Jacob showed up. But when he met God in Bethel, he renamed that place. And it used to be called Luz. Amen. Bethel means the house of God or the gate of heaven. Because wherever God shows up, brethren, his presence creates heaven in that situation, even if it's hell. Am I right, brethren? So he called it Bethel. One time, when Jacob was running from Esau, this is the second time that Jacob tried this trick. He renamed the place because he opened his eyes and he was really afraid, and he saw armies of angels surrounding him, and he saw armies of angels protecting him, brethren. So he called the place Mahanaim. Mahanaim means encampment of God. And because he saw God camped all around him, church, and he realized, I'm not in this by myself. I'm not fighting this battle by my own. I thought I was, but then I saw something spiritual that I couldn't see physically. So he renamed the place Mahanaim. Then, church, there was that pivotal point when Jacob received his name change, when he was wrestling with a man, and he wrestled with the man to the point that his hip was dislocated. And when he got done wrestling with the man, he realized he was wrestling with God all along. And he didn't know it, brethren. And he renamed the place and he called it Peniel. Peniel, church, means face of God. Because it says, I've seen the face of God and yet I didn't die. He renamed some places, brethren. He had been renamed himself, and now at the most sorrowful moment of his life, he thinks to himself, wait a minute, he says, wait just a minute. If I can rename places, if God can rename me, maybe I can rename this too. So he called him Benjamin. Y'all see this stuff? Y'all see it, brethren? I'm trying, brethren, to figure out if y'all ready for me to tell y'all what Benjamin means. Because when I saw it, church, I got excited. And I just know you'd be excited about it, too. So I want you to lean in with me this morning. Prepare yourself to learn what Benjamin means, brethren. Ben still means son. But when you put Jamin on it, Benjamin. No. Benjamin. I was just there. Holy Spirit just with me there. All right. So Jamin, brethren, it means son of. But because, brethren, Jacob is looking at tragedy. Jacob is looking at a loss, brethren. Jacob is looking at pain. Jacob is looking at despair. And he says, I think I'll call him Benjamin, son of. Y'all remember when Jacob went and to get the blessing that belonged to Esau and Isaac, and Isaac couldn't see, brethren, and Isaac took his right hand and put it on Jacob, which was the hand that was reserved for the blessing of the firstborn, the right hand, brethren. No offense to you if you're left-handed, but the right hand in Scripture is the right hand of blessing, the hand of authority, the hand of power. So when he names him Benjamin, it means son of my right hand. Woo! All his life, he had been trying to get the right hand of blessing. But now, brethren, I'm trying to show you this. Now, he's in a situation that other people would have called a curse. Jacob says, hold on a second. I've got a right hand too, and it's time for me to use it. And I'm choosing to call this a blessing in my life. So he called him Benjamin. Am I right? Call him my right hand. Don't call him Benoni. Take the dash out and call that boy Benjamin. Call that boy a blessing. Call him a triumph. Call him God is good. Come on, somebody. I want to help somebody. Brethren, this sermon is going to bless you. I promise you, brethren. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know, brethren. I know about some of you and what you've been through. I know, brethren, but we don't know what lies on tomorrow. But I want you to know God is in control. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. Call it a blessing. God is working in your life. Why? How do I know? Because Paul says, for we know. Huh? What you know? All things. Good things. Bad things. Indifferent things. Painful things. Sorrowful things. Ugly things. Black things. White things. Gray things. Purple things. Amen. What else can I give you? Work together for the good. To those who love the Lord and is called according to his purpose. Don't get down, hold your head up. Amen. Yeah. 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 I feel like chest bumping when you come out in the morning. Prepare to get a chest bump. I promise you, you're going to need this. I got the call last night that my mother was taken to the hospital with pneumonia. And she's suffering with dementia too. And brethren, I can truly say that, let me say this. That's why, brethren, we got to have the joy, because folk who are not walking with the Lord doesn't know the peace that passes all understanding. If I don't know that, if you don't know that, how can we be an encouragement to others? You know, I appreciate our shepherds so much. Because I promise you, if you tell these men to pray for you, to pray for someone, I don't care who it is. If you tell them, you give them a name and a situation, they don't just call the name. They deal with the situation with God. I appreciate that. So when I told Brother Randy this morning, he being the shepherd of the month, I said, Randy, put my mother on the prayer list. And Randy said, I sure will. I said, y'all know her, Catherine Cherry, and I'm telling you all, pray for my mother. And I said, and Randy, she has pneumonia. Because you know what these men will do? They'll call her name and they'll say, heal her of that pneumonia. I want to be specific with God. Give her a clear mind of the dementia. comfort. I got to call you all, and as I got to call late last night and trying to give my sister and them some comfort, and but I was studying my lesson, just going over my lesson and how I wanted to deliver it and praying about it, and I had no idea that I was going to get that call. But I had many of you on my radar screen because I see your strength. So I know you must have gone through an awful lot of sorrow. And I know about some of that sorrow and your blessing. Your blessing. So this morning, church, if you don't know this God, if you don't know this Jesus, He loves us so much. He knows the ending before the beginning. That's why we don't have to worry. We just have to trust. And I know that can be tough, church. I know that can be tough sometimes because we deal in the physical. But God has a bigger plan. He knows what we can deal with, and every tear you shed, He catches in a bottle. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So I couldn't wait to get to worship this morning. I couldn't wait to preach to you all this morning. Because really, I just needed to be encouraged. See how it's important that you're here? That we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We encourage one another. Even in your pain, you're here. And I can look out and see your pain and your sorrow and say, if God did it for them, He'll do it for me. Come to Him by faith, believing that He is the Son of God. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. Repent of your sins, confess them before men, and be willing to be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of all your sins, and that you may be raised up to walk in the newness of life. And he promised to give us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, for those baptized believers, is in us. And the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We need to remember that. On the other hand, if you're a child of God, brethren, and doesn't mean you don't shed a tear. Doesn't mean everything is going great for you. Doesn't mean any of those things. It just means that God loves you. And one day, He's going to make everything right. One day. If you're here this morning, we can help you. Won't you come?